What it do, people? It's your man Animal Brown checking in. Another action-packed episode of the On Deck TV podcast is here, brought to you by Realville Media Group. Go visit the website, man. That's the home of the On Deck TV podcast, realvillemedia.com. That's realvillemedia.com. Realville Media Group, RMG, if you like acronyms. Very hot topic this week. We are rating this DJ Khaled album, and we're going to discuss whether DJ albums are needed in the first place. I've seen nothing but two thumbs down about this album. We'll talk about that in depth later. Also, check out youtube.com/ondecktv. We review music videos out here in these streets. Go check that out and go subscribe.
And remember, this is a network, so we got other shows for you to check out. Other show, Full Sport Press, J-Hove, Coach Locke, How Weezy on the board doing the producing thing. They just had a show about the NBA free agents, so y'all go check that out. Great content over there. And the Ladies Room Podcast, still doing their thing over there. Anne-Marie, Miss Rizzo on the hosting tip. I was finna say the boys because I had the FSP thing in my head, but going. Otherwise, man, check out realvillemedia.com, as Animal Brown said, and we finna hop right into the show.
Man, what it do, what the business is. It's your man Animal Brown checking in, On Deck TV podcast.
I am Spike Lewis. Another week in the books, man. We appreciate y'all supporting the real. We see the numbers out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Speaking of numbers on the board, follow my IG, my Snap, and my Twitter, Animal_Brown.
I don't believe you got numbers on your IG and your Twitter.
Absolutely. Underscores bring numbers.
Underscores deter numbers. I am Spike Lou. If you're looking for me, though, I ain't got nothing on mine. I don't need numbers. I'm not a numbers guy.
Zero followers.
I'm not a numbers guy. I'm a content guy.
Numbers never lie.
Shout out Joe Buttons, man. I'm a content guy. I'm not a numbers guy.
Action-packed episode, man. We're going to go in-depth to this DJ Khaled, wondering why he's still a star when these albums people aren't feeling.
Why are you hating on Khaled, dude?
Nah, it's just a tape. People not
why
feeling it.
Why is he still a star?
People not feeling this man. Shit. People haven't felt it.
Assad gonna pull up on you and it ain't gonna be nothing nice. Dude.
Assad more of a star than him.
Assad shaking it. That ain't saying a lot. Assad a bigger star than a lot of people right now, dude. Assad shakes it.
More on that in a moment, man. But what you have on deck for the weekend?
I chillax, man. I caught some Big Three basketball. Shout out Ice Cube and the whole little league that popped off.
Yo. Little league. That's how you gonna do them?
No, I wasn't doing it like that. Showed out the Barclays. I liked it. I ain't got to see the game yet, but I liked the vibe that he was giving. What else, man? Not really too much was cracking for me. What you had going on?
Man, nothing. I was in the crib catching up on TV. Mm-hmm. I watched a documentary. It scared the shit out of me. I'm now afraid to eat meat.
The meat shit.
It's official. Shout out to homie Steven, man. New Rebel. Cashville represent.
Tough.
Put me up on this documentary, dude. It's called What the Health. I can't eat meat no more, bro. It's official.
You out of there. I'm out of there.
Put my jersey up in the meat rafters, dude. I'm out of there.
First of all, pause all of that. First and foremost, let's pause all of that last segment.
I'm scared, meat. Man. I'm be real. Don't watch it if you like chicken.
I was finna say, man, I like chicken too much, bro. I can eat chicken 5 out of 7 days out the week.
Don't
fried, sauteed, and pasta, and salads. I'm like the dude out of Forrest Gump, dude. However you trying to give me chicken, I'm running it.
Hey, do not watch this.
What if I buy my own chickens and raise them and make sure they ain't stressed out and shit?
Maybe you have a better chance at that point.
Okay.
Getting colon cancer and all these
cancers. Chickens, man.
I can see you farming.
Buy some chickens and shit.
Fuck that.
And that way I get eggs and I can eat eggs.
Don't
and
eat eggs
chickens.
Either. Eggs.
I'm going to have my own chickens. They ain't going to be stressed. My chicken's going to be good.
Don't do it.
Tough.
Y'all gonna learn, man. I'm part-time vegan right now.
I'm part-time vegan right now until that burger calls me.
until further notice.
To that burger call, you nigga.
Shit, let's get to this rap shit. We got a lot to talk about on this episode.
Tough.
Let's kick things off. Which beef do we want?
It's the pull up awards. The pull up awards.
Which one do we want to talk about first?
The Pueys.
Safari and Meek or Migos and Joe? Which one?
Let's go in and knock the Safari and Meek out of the way.
Safari and Meek were in LA for the BET Awards, a lot of people. Safari was, of course, this was caught on camera. Everything is on camera now. It's amazing. HD quality, too. Safari was talking to, I don't know, God knows who, his partners, doing an interview. And you see the camera pan
those
to.
Those were not his partners.
I don't know who they were.
Because they didn't inform him that niggas was hopping out on him, dude.
When you pan to the left, you see Meek Mill doing a slow creep out of a truck. That nigga look. Why did he get out of the car like that?
Meek got to work. He has the worst poker face in what the America. Fuck was that, dude? Come on, what? Meek.
Well, shortly after, the camera pans back to Safari catching L's from two men, allegedly part of Meek Mill crew. Another homeboy jumps in for Safari to kind of get the dude off him. Safari takes off running.
That's the real MVP, the nigga that jumped in.
I agree with that. Now, my question is a lot of people are split on this. Which one is the bigger deal, man? Meek Mill for sending goons at Safari or Safari for running?
Now, I don't think he sent goons at Safari. I think it just so happened to be like Safari was in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong shit. I don't know who that nigga was that he was hugging.
Right. You think that's a setup?
Nah, I wasn't a setup. No. But I definitely seen him look in the corner and was like, oh, man, they finna rag. All right, bro. All right, I'm out. All right. Oh, I definitely seen him pull that.
It might have been an okie doke then.
I don't know. I don't feel like dude had nothing to do with it. He just peeped game quicker than Safari did.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? With that being said, like, I don't blame him for running because he didn't run, like, straight up down the street, not look back, see what's going on, see who it was checking for him. Like, he processed the situation, got up out of immediate danger.
Right.
And then he squared up, though.
Yeah,
you know
I saw that.
He squared up. He was like, all right, what's up? He seen it wasn't Meek. It wasn't nobody worthy of knocking out. It was just like the 200-300-pound dudes who gonna dog me, so I might well gonna get up out of here. Ain't no need of me playing with these dudes. This ain't gonna make me famous. I feel like he thought I could knock Meek Mill out, but I ain't finna fight these dudes and get worked and become even worse than I already am looked at Safari. You know what I'm saying? To go to our original point though, his homeboy is the real MVP because he jumped in there.
Shout out
he
to
was
me.
Ready. He went for it and he got worked. He took that little
L. He took
an
L.
Safari tried to get back in there and help him a little bit.
Nah, I know he didn't.
He did a little bit.
Nah, he looked and listen, was like, he assessed the situation.
He would have ran down the street if he was all the way, like, pussy and out of there.
Look, I'll
he
say this.
He didn't run down the street.
I'll say this. And this is what people are, you got to look at the video, dude. You got to break it down. You got to see it more than once.
Okay.
You have to look at it. Like you said, when he initially got fired on, he stumbled a little bit and turned around and assessed the situation. He saw one nigga that's an average-sized nigga in shape. Then he saw another big 300-pound defensive tackle for the fucking Philadelphia Eagles. Now, you have a decision to make in that split second. Can I take these two motherfuckers and I'm wearing all white? Or am I going to have to get the fuck up out of here and live to fight another day?
You gotta get out of there.
So now, kudo, like you said, I put this on Instagram. I said his homeboy is the real MVP because they big dude, both of them niggas caught him up against their truck, so, and it was over with if dude doesn't come and hit big dude in the back of the head.
Tough.
That's what freed up Safari to
well,
spin
he
move
back for a second
yeah, and get the fuck up out of there.
Like, who was this that hit me in the head? What was that fly swat?
Now his homeboy made the mistake of not knowing. He made the mistake of not running with Safari. He tried.
He
to
ran the wrong way.
He tried to square up with the other dude.
I'm going west, my nigga. Come on.
He didn't know it was another dude right there. So now he's in front of three niggas.
The third dude won nothing, though.
The third dude hit him. The third dude got some good licks in with the suit on.
The third dude was trying to earn stripes. The two dudes that originally got out and was almost on Safari and did hit dude. Them was the two problems. Everybody else could have had, like they could have got handled. Like, I feel like Safari wasn't just no pussy in the situation. Like, he was ready, like we said before, but he just got up out of there when he assessed the situation. them two dudes, like, ain't nobody trying, like, Styles P maybe, Wax, people like that.
For sure.
They trying to handle that.
You mean that's Sheik?
I mean, yeah, Sheik. Yeah, my fault. Like, well, Styles maybe might stab
him. Styles by 5'6".
He might stab him, though.
That's a good point.
You know what I'm saying? So, Sharif wasn't about none of that.
Sharif?
Safari. That's how I told you that it need to be his name, Sharif. But Safari wasn't about none of that. Now, the video is what we need to talk about.
That's the problem.
The whole Meek Mill tried to jump me, like, bruh, we don't need that.
You got to say that, though.
Why?
Because you don't. He doesn't know it's...
That's getting him more shine?
He doesn't know it's been filmed. He doesn't know this at the time.
You have to assume that there were cameras.
No, you have to assume that you got to get the fuck up out of there before you get beat to a pulp and all white.
Prior to... Look, this dude didn't just hop out of the car, have a couple conversations, and then he was headed to his spot and Meek Mill jumped.
We don't know.
That ain't what I could tell. He was out there talking, conversating, lingering, like lingerers do. No disrespect to him, but he was out there for a minute. So you have to assume if you're out there for a minute that people are looking at you. And then you should go on to assume if people are looking at me, they know me and Meek got a problem. Meek people pull up. Meek hopping out of the truck. Okay, yeah, let me get this on tape. It's World Star moment. They did everything short of hollering World Star. World Star, like,
pretty much.
He should have seen that. And it's his fault.
Wait.
That's his fault.
Well, let me ask this. How much of this is Meek's doing? What did he get out of the car for? Was he about to come up and holler at him? Was he about to come up and smack the shit out of him? Like, what was Meek doing? What was his motives? What was going through his head when he Hype Williams slow-mo slid out the truck? And he literally slid out. He didn't step out. He slid out of the truck.
What was Meek thinking?
What was he? I don't understand. What was his purpose? What was he about to do? Why get out if two goons is finna go rush him? I would have sat behind the tents.
I'm going to get now so I can get a clear view of him getting worked. Because I thought that's what's going to happen. Like, I clearly pulled up. I go, your boy. He was talking mad shit. Okay, look. You hop out over here. You hop out right here. I'm going to hop out so they'll know what it is. And then as soon as they see me, he going to try to take off. You catch him. Wow. Knock him down. Y'all stump him on out. I'm going to keep walking like I don't got nothing to do with it. Hopefully somebody out there with the camera and the phone and shit is 2017. And we going to... That's how it's gonna rock.
This isn't the first time Meek goons have ran up on somebody. They ran up on you.
It's what dream chasers do.
They ran up on the dude, Quentin Miller, who allegedly ghost wrote some joints for Drake. They ran up on him in a Nike store in LA, if I'm not mistaken. But here's my thing. Is Meek sending goons to beat up an adversary? Is that a boss move?
It depends on who the adversary is.
What do you mean? There's got to be a tough. It got to be a street nigga. It got to be a tough dude. Like, I don't.
It has to be for sufficient reasons. Like,
because they clearly don't like each other.
I don't care though. Like, it doesn't matter that he don't like Sharif or Safari or whatever the guy's name. Like, to me, that doesn't matter that you don't like this dude. It don't matter what he said, because what it was based off of was a female, Nikki.
For,
like,
sure.
That's what it was based off of, and you're not even with her no more.
It usually is.
Huh?
It's usually money or a female.
Well, that's cool. If it's money, that's a different story to me.
For sure.
But if it's a female, and if it's Nicki Minaj, and you ain't dealing with her, she clearly out here with Nas. She clearly throwing the little slick shots. I ain't got no problems with this dude. I don't care what he said. If I'm a boss, the real boss move is who? Who is this dude? Like, I swear, I would have hopped out and act like that nigga didn't exist. The cameras would have got me walking right past dude, and then they would have asked me about it, and they would have been like, oh, I didn't even see. I don't even know what dude looked like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't be able to point dude out right now. Like, it's me, and we cover this. Like, I don't know what dude looked like. Safari, who I'm talking about. Like, I don't even know what they look like. So the boss move ain't getting the dude jump. If it's somebody else, of course I get that.
Who is somebody else?
That's equivalent to him. Equivalent to Meek.
So if it's game, what if he send goons a game?
All right, then we can talk. then you done made a little cool move on the chessboard, and I get that. Then we can have a conversation about Meek being a boss and all of that. What if it's Safari? I don't know, dude.
What if he send goons to Drake?
Then you got control of the chessboard now, too. Like, now what? Now whoever want to come talk to you, we can talk. That's what I'm saying. So I can't compare what he did to like sending goons to Drake or sending goons to whoever else it may be that he got beef with Game or whatever it is, like Sean Kingston.
Right.
Like, you can't compare that because this dude right here, he ain't never been on. He ain't popping. The only reason that we know him is because he messed with some girl that you used to mess with. And you mad at him for that? Nah. That's showing the same stuff that you was showing during the time that you got to beefing with Drake. And that's right. What's deterring people from you. Meek got good music out right now. He ain't got to participate in none of this. He was getting his traction back. He was able to get some little steps back off the good music that he got out now. But now people looking at this like, come on, bro.
Yeah, it was a shame.
You don't got to jump this dude.
It was a shame because the joint that he dropped later on that night, that Young Black America, was banging. Right. And it totally went all 100% against sending goons to jump in the nigga. Like, that was not the message in the song at all.
Man.
So it kind of like went against that. It kind of made him look a little silly. And it probably stopped a little bit of the steam that song could have had that incident not occurred. But I just thought it was a very interesting story.
And I think it go to something that we always say about Meek when we bring him up on this podcast and we talk about the different situations that he's in. I'd love to have a conversation with him and ask him who he listens to when he makes key decisions about his career.
Yeah.
I'd love to know who he listens to about that because I feel like he wings it.
Ross?
Nah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
After the fact.
You think Ross hopping out and spraying it on Birdman?
He did it to Vlad. He sent goons at Vlad.
That was how long ago?
That wasn't the Rick
Ross that we know right now.
He sent goons at the dude working at his crib.
Nah, he beat him up himself. That's why he had the bracelet on. He was there. Like, that's some, like, exact. Okay, that's a great point that you brought up. So that's some boss stuff. Like, you in my house, I didn't give you access to this. Yeah, I got a 300-pound dude with me, but I'm getting my licks in, too. I'm going to dog walk you in here for disrespecting me like that. That's some boss shit. You can do that and pull that off as boss shit. What you can't do is what Meek did. And what
Boss
I feel
is
like
not supposed to get their hands dirty, dude.
What?
They're not supposed to get their hands dirty.
Man, bro, listen. You're a homeowner. Nick come up in your house having a party. You gone. Like, this is a nigga that you fuck with. Like, he got a job to do at your house. You come home after you been gone. You and wife, you went on vacation. And he in here shaking and having threesomes, running around naked in your crib. His condoms on the table. You telling me you not gonna get your hands dirty? You gonna get one lick in. You got to. Fuck that. Yeah, you ain't finna play with me like
shit.
That. I ain't gonna sit back and let no other niggas beat you up for that. I wanna beat you up for that. Shit.
Fair enough. Can we move on to Joe Budden and the Migos, please?
News of the weekend.
They were on Everyday Struggle doing the red carpet for the BET Awards. Ironically, Joe Budden's wearing the exact same shirt that Safari's wearing.
That's crazy.
That all-white button-down was not the look for the weekend.
They need to close that mall in L.A.
Woo!
Whoever's selling them shirts, close that mall.
But they tried to conduct a red carpet interview with the Migos. If anybody's ever seen a Migos interview, they're not the most talkative. They don't necessarily show the most personality. They're not the most engaging.
All upset.
So that clearly annoyed Joe Budden, and he dropped the mic and cut the interview somewhat short. Migos took offense. People stood up. A lot of people got in between. Cameras got cut. Nothing happened at the end of the day.
Right.
Give me your take on this, your assessment on this, air quote, beef.
Okay. For the people that don't watch Everyday Struggle, the problem was not with Migos and Joe, because I feel like he always showed them love. The problem was with Yachty and what Joe went in about him on that, and they are label mates.
Yep.
So someone from the label had approached Joe earlier, and he was like, hey, I don't like how you talking about Yachty. So I'm like, okay, cool. I won't talk about him again. That was Joe's response, allegedly. So
at the mall earlier that day.
So said Joe Budden's at the mall earlier that day. What got things tense was not the usual acts that the Migos do in their interviews, but dude saying, I already talked to Joe, like he gonna make sure he respect, like that ain't got nothing to do with
the same dude from the mall earlier.
Exactly.
Interrupted the show and said and tried to boss up and say it again.
Exactly. Thank you for explaining that for me.
Right.
Nigga trying to Incredible Hulk the situation, go all green, bust out of your clothes, and make people think that you're more important than you are. I don't know this dude, and I'm not saying that he ain't important, but what I am saying is you trying to get camera time and trying to prove a point. And to me, that ruined the mood, that ruined everything they had going on. So from that, of course, Joe Budden's going to react. Like, Joe Budden's ain't 10 years deep, but he ain't Larry King. You know what I mean? Joe Budden's ain't Charlemagne even. Like, not to say that he's not good, but he's just not that experienced.
Not that polished.
Yet.
So he's been doing radio before, let's be clear.
And that's cool.
It's been sporadic.
But we know Joe Budden's personality. We listen to his music. Joe Budden's a hell of a rapper. We know how he would react to somebody coming to him like that. So to me, like, it's not Joe Budden's fault. I do blame the Migos a little bit, but the most I blame Complex. Like, Complex, you don't put Joe Budden's on the red carpet. You put Nadeska, you put Academics there because they, well, I don't even know about Nadeska. I feel like she's not as much of a fan as Academics is. But let Academics talk to these dudes. Let them get the quick little interviews with the snapshots, standing up traditionally like you usually see. We don't need a sit-down format interview, and this is what's going to ruin what they got going on with Everyday Struggle, because this interaction, it divides people. Some people like, oh, Joe was right. Some people like, oh, Migos is right. And now you're going to get people looking at it, hating Joe like they hate Skip Bayless, hating Joe like they hate Stephen A. Smith, and most people gonna feel like they can try him, whether it be fans, whether it be executives, whether it be whoever. People always gonna feel like it's either Academics that I can get out on, or it's Joe that I can get out on. And that ain't a good basis for the show, because they talk about a lot of good stuff towards hip hop, but that ain't gotta be their niche. And I feel like they playing that as their niche.
Yeah, so here's the thing. Joe Budden, I understand his reaction, and he explained it very eloquently on Everyday Struggle, and I respected his perspective. He said, when you combine the fact that he had voted not to interview Migos prior to the red carpet, and you combine that with what the guy said in the mall, but then he flexed up on him and had a different type of energy when he tried to say it during the interview, and then you combine that with the dry answers and the dry personalities that the Migos can sometimes have during interviews, and he had had enough.
It's like, what am I doing here?
He had had enough, and Joe Budden is an emotional person. You mentioned his music. That's how we know it. His best series is called Mood Music.
1 through 4, 5. How many?
So we, right, he had a bunch of them. So we know he's an emotional dude. He wears his shit on his sleeve. All of that being said, I respect him 1,000% for this, and he's in the right. He's absolutely right. Academics is still in fan mode. Nadeska, she's the mediator. She's there. It's about act. It's about Joe Budden. Joe Budden is seasoned. He's a vet when it comes to this music industry. He's not going to fan out if one of his favorite artists come through.
Facts.
Academics is closer to doing that. He's new to this. That's fair. I'm not mad at him for that either. He's a fan of the Migos. He thought he could talk something out of them. He failed miserably.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, Quavo's reaction when Joe Budden drops the mic is the funniest shit I've seen all week. All
right, so let's talk about that, and I ain't heard a lot of people say that.
Woo.
We do understand why Quavo's reaction is that way. To me, it ain't got nothing to do with Joe Budden's. It ain't got nothing necessarily to do with any previous comments.
He did leave Joe hanging on the dap, though, when they first linked up. When he pulled up for the interview. All
right, so that's what I'm saying. Let's talk about that, though.
Okay.
Quavo is the leader of the group. He their uncle. He's the oldest. He the dude in which in my perspective, the other ones look up to.
I can respect
that. So they can be cool with you. They can dap your hand, but I can't let you disrespect us like that. I assume that's how he's looking at it. Or I can't let you be at odds, to steal T.I.'s phrase, with one of my label mates or somebody as powerful on the same team that I'm on,
Yachty.
And come to you, and come to you like, oh, we cool, it's this and it's that. Because I always want Offset, I always want Takeoff to know that I'm riding for them, regardless of what the media stuff got to do with it, because it's my family, it's my blood. And I feel like that Quavo was approaching it more so in that sense. I got to protect these dudes. I got to protect Migos. I got to protect our brand. I'm the head of this brand. I'm the leader of this brand.
But here's,
so I ain't going to be as friendly as these other two are, because they don't got that responsibility.
Here's my issue with that. You guys are going into it knowing what he's done, to how he tried to shake it on Yachty. Why even do the interview in the first place?
Great point.
Why sit down? Why have QC? Why have the Migos sit down and do the... Matter of fact, why have the Migos do interviews, period? They don't have... Their music speaks for them volumes. Their look... speaks for them volumes. They don't have to sit. Let's be honest. Do you really want to hear what Takeoff has to say about current issues? Does anybody want to hear that?
But you want to hear why he wasn't on Bad and Bougie.
I don't care about that though. That's my point.
Some people do. Fans do. This is the biggest song. This is the biggest song of your group's career. Why weren't you on the song?
What was his answer?
Well, you would have got. Oh, I was on it.
Exactly.
So okay, if you were on it, how did you contribute? Did you write some bars?
No. Okay. No. You're not talking to Jay-Z, dude.
People care about that though.
They won't care about the answer though. You already know
academics
that.
Academics care. No. He a fan.
The answer was trash. The answer was whack.
Because he didn't get to elaborate because they couldn't hear him.
You wanna
had
know,
they been in a good setting, I feel like he could have been like, okay, how did you contribute? But you don't, to your point, you don't ask that question on a red carpet. That was that question wasn't sufficient for the situation.
He's a rookie.
True.
He's a rookie. He made a rookie mistake.
That's Complex fault.
Nah, that's his fault. That was a bad question.
That's Complex fault. Like, you put dude right there with the people walking through the red carpet. He give him the mic for 4-5 seconds. Hey, I'm nice to meet you. What you wearing? What you excited about tonight? Then you throw it back to Nadeska to steal from Nae Phrase, where she's sitting right there with Joe Budden, and let him break down some hip-hop stuff. That's Complex fault for not producing that correctly.
Right.
Like, that. I can't have my regular formatted show and try to throw that on a Monday and get mad or... Well, I guess they did do because everybody was talking about it, so that's what they want.
Exactly.
So that's a whole other topic for another situation about what we're trying to digest as media. But if we want a good quality product, I'm throwing him right there to talk to all the famous people, and I got Joe right there with Nadeska breaking the stuff down. That's how we do it.
It's the last thing I'm going to say. Even Charlamagne has mentioned how many times they have recorded Migo interviews and ended up not showing them. He said they've got a ton of Migo interviews in the can that have been unaired. It will never be aired because the interviews are horrible. This is why Young Thug doesn't do interviews. This is the reason. Some people just don't do good interviews. They end up putting their foot in their mouth. It's boring. It's dry. Their music speaks for them. They don't need to do the interview.
Do they suffer from that?
Eventually, you will, because you'll end up being like a... You'll only end up being so... big. You can only get to a certain level without letting people in, because it connects to people and people buy into you as opposed to just your music.
True.
So that's the tough part. In the end, you may struggle from that, but for now, fuck it, it's working. Like,
I tell you, two people who are Nas and Jeezy.
A big on what?
I feel like Jeezy interviews were a lot like Migos interviews in the beginning, but he did get the media savvy that he needed to sustain his fan base, because I feel like originally, early on, his fan base, they were cool with the short answers, because that's what he was. He portrayed that in his music. He ain't no need for him to talk to interviewers.
Right.
Later on, he kind of matured more. He was able to talk about stuff because time had passed, and I feel like that was sufficient.
And he understood the importance of it. The interview.
All right. With that being said, I feel like I still don't do that.
Nas is on a bigger level, though. But he's on a bigger level, though. He's no need. There's no need for him to prove himself.
He ain't never done them, though. Like, you can't even go back and look for old Nas interviews where he got them, like Jay-Z. And that's saying a lot. Probably got more published interviews than Nas.
He's the exception, then.
Nas?
Yeah, he the exception.
All right, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, most people top out way earlier than that. People consider dude a GOAT.
Nas.
Tough.
True.
So, hey. All right, man, moving on. Speaking of Young Thug. Young Thug dropped his beautiful Thugger. Wait, what was it? Thugger Girls?
Beautiful.
Easy Breezy.
Whatever the Esalon, whatever the makeup shit is.
They were hot about that shit, too. Anyway, the Thugger Girls was the name of it. The numbers are in. 37,000 first week. That is actually the same as the Jeffrey album that came out last year. Has Young Thug maxed out?
I feel like that he's right there with the people close to him, the label that he signed to. I feel like he's right there where they feel like he should be.
I feel like the
groundswell for Young Thug when he first came out, because he was different, he was new. That was, oh, he's going to be a star. Oh, people going to pay attention to this for a long time. And that's not necessarily the case, because you had Uzi come out, you had Yachty come out, and these guys are even much more weirder than he is. You know what I'm saying? Even Young Thug had the correlation to the streets. These guys have came out since him, and they don't even have that correlation. We're flat-out rock stars.
Right.
And I feel like that was the lane that Young Thug was trying to go in, and those guys came after him, and they did better. So, being the business-savvy people in which he signed to, those people are, they see that. They understand that he wasn't able to take that lane and go Ferrari speed with it. he was able to just maintain, go sedan speed with it. He gonna have a cool long ride because he got true fans. Like you said, the last one did the same numbers, this one did the same numbers. He gonna consistently do that for a lot of years. Like, he's gonna have core fans who fuck with him for a long time. I would associate it with somebody like Devin the Dude, a Gucci Man, or Game, somebody like that.
I've heard a lot of artists and a lot of people in the industry hold Young Thug in very high regard. His fans on Twitter are very loyal, to your point. Facts. I just heard Rico Love say the nigga was a genius.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing it.
You're missing the genius?
I'm missing the appeal. I've never been a fan of the music. I did think the Danny Glover shit was entertaining. But I've always thought he was overrated and that I don't see the star potential in him. I'm missing that. These numbers are proving it. Back-to-back 37s? Bruh.
Okay. The fact that
that's not a star, yeah, bro.
Okay, he ain't got to be a star, though. But he's,
but that's what people are calling him, though.
He's talented enough to sustain a long career on a, not underground level, but a mainstream level. Like, he's
37,000 ain't mainstream.
He's going to sustain Young Thug. But Young Thug is, though. What Young Thug does, like the whole thing with his girl, like his look, his style, the model stuff, that's mainstream now. I would also pair him with like somebody like ASAP Rocky.
No,
or French Montana.
Nah, bro. Nah.
Alright.
Nah. He not on their level. And I'm not even just sitting here talking like they just goats.
He not on their level on music sales, but he in the same circles advertising. He in the same circles modeling, doing those type of things. Like, his thing may not be numbers. That may not be his thing, but dude's personality and how he first came
what
out.
What personality? He doesn't do interviews.
Wearing the dress, doing all that shit, the bass shit. The shit that I guess heterosexual rappers are scared to do, and there's another community of people that are they attaching on to what he got going on. He always gonna have those people in that fan base, sort of like Frank Ocean.
No.
I'm telling you, dude.
Bruh, Frank Ocean is winning Grammys and shit.
All right, but Frank Ocean,
Young Thug is nowhere.
He's a better artist than Young Thug. I'm just saying in the hip hop genre. In the hip hop genre, Young Thug would probably be equivalent to Dude.
What's the last Thug song you fuck with, bro?
I don't fuck with it, period.
What was the last Thug
but
song
I'm saying,
that was popping?
Ask me the last famous Dex, a Lil Uzi Vert, a Lil Yachty song. It's the same thing, though.
But that's my point. And I think the internet is making the rap game smaller in that because we know who someone is, it makes them seem larger than what they really are in the scope of music, period.
But that's,
Young Thug is not that big in the scope of music, is what I'm saying. These numbers are proving it.
You're talking about music, though. Guess what the first thing they're gonna ask somebody when they ask about Young Thug? How many followers he got? How many Instagram followers he got? How many Snapchat followers he got? How many Twitter followers he got? Now, he ain't gotta sell 30,000. Like, all he gotta do is portray an image. All he got to do is talk about his album to them 1 million people, and then the label's going to hope that those 1 million people buy it. I'm pretty sure he got a lot of followers, a lot more than the other people that we name. And that's the thing. Like, that's what people buy into nowadays. Instagram follows, Twitter follows, Snapchat follows, and he's done that well. He may be great in a 2-minute clip. We don't want to watch him in an 18-minute clip doing an interview, no. But that 2-minute clip where he cussing out the airport people, he go viral. People signing up for that with Young Thug.
He has 4.3 million followers on Instagram.
My point exactly. 4.3 million.
And he sold 37,000 copies.
Which one do you think his label cares more about?
But that should let you know, like, the impact of having hella Twitter followers or Instagram followers.
It means nothing? Is that what you're saying? I mean,
well,
think his label cares?
But you know what
about?
Though? You know what? I'm gonna keep it all way, but
more people listen to Twitter than gonna buy his album.
I'm not going to sit here and act like album sales are the end all be all because it's really touring. And I know if Thug went on a tour, it would be slammed.
Selling out.
Nice size venues, it would be slammed.
Yeah.
I get that. So in that aspect, I don't know. I still don't get it. But he's following one person. I give you $1 zillion if you can tell me who he's following. It's a famous actor. One person. Dude, he's following one famous actor.
One famous actor.
You'll never in a million years figure this
TV
out.
TV actor or movie?
Movie. But recently did TV. Ooh.
He's shucking it out.
Just recently.
Terrence Howard.
Nah, but that was a great guest. Cuba Gooding Jr.
What?
He's following. That's his one follow is Cuba Gooding Jr. Shout out to Young Thug people. All right, moving on.
What's
man.
The movie with him and Robert De Niro?
Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yeah, where he was diving and shit.
What the fuck is that? I don't know.
When he never seen that.
When he was diving.
He was calling them Cookie.
Dude, you just made up a movie, slaw-ass movie.
Y'all let us know in the rap chat. Man, actually, we really wanted to shout that out at the beginning, been appreciating the different feedback, postings, and everything. The rap chat, y'all keep that up. As long as it ain't the link to your music, we're great with it. With that being said, y'all let us know what movie I was just talking about since Animal Brown has no idea.
Don't exist.
Robert De Niro, Cuba Gooding Jr., he was playing a Navy diver, and he was kept calling him Cookie in the movie.
That shit sounds so garbage.
That was fire.
What's
the name of that?
Some slaw. All right, look. Moving on. Kodak Black. Let's take it to Florida. He's in some hot water again after a recent Instagram live stream. He was answering questions, and somebody threw out there if he liked Keke Palmer, to which he answered, "Keke Palmer, she's straight. I'd bag her, but I really don't like black girls like that, sort of, kind of." So once people were like, "Damn, bro," of course that didn't go over well at all.
You really don't like black girls like that?
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Then
you mean black like black or black like him?
That's what I'm finna say.
Oh, okay.
So then he tried to clear them up and he said, "I love black African American women. It's just not my forte to deal with a dark skinned woman. I prefer them to have a lighter complexion than me. My preference, hashtag fuck you."
Hashtag fuck you was fun.
Absolutely. So, of course, Twitter proceeded to go ham on Kodak Black. Now, my question is, fair or foul, is this him having a preference or was he in the wrong?
I think this ties back into our last topic with Twitter followers and people that are popular as opposed to just because they're popular and have a lot of Twitter followers or may have a hit song on the radio that we have to take into consideration what they're talking about or care about what they're saying. No one cares that Kodak Black don't like dark-skinned women, dude.
Yes,
like,
they did.
Several
people went in on it.
They shouldn't have, though. That's what I'm saying. I see Kodak Black, 20-year-old rapper from Florida with gold teeth that used to have a puff in his mouth that just got out of jail, that's also still facing charges for sexual assault, say he doesn't like dark-skinned women. Guess what I do? I keep scrolling. My thumb is continuously moving up. I don't care what Kodak Black thinks about any of that. What would I expect him to say? What would I expect him to think, dude? Like you said previously on our last topic, just because he got a lot of Twitter followers, he got a hit song, he's on Songs of Future, or he's doing this, he's doing that. That's cool. He's great in his lane. I can listen to Kodak Black for the ignorance. I'm there for it all day. But when he say he don't date dark-skinned women, I don't care. Why would I care, dude? He not Barack. He not nobody of significance where I should take his I'm not taking that into consideration, dude. That ain't normal conversation coming from him, dude. Here's who you talking about.
Here's the thing. No, he's not Barack, but let's be honest. There's levels to this shit.
It's not. And not for Kodak Black.
He has a following, just like Young Thug has a following, just like Famous Dex and whoever the fuck else you just named. They all have followings. And so when you say certain shit, mm-hmm. whether it's reckless or whether it's motivating or whatever it is,
right.
You're held to a certain level of accountability when you get to a certain stature.
So because I fuck with
Kodak Black is no different.
So because I fuck with Kodak Black, I don't like dark skin women.
No, I don't know.
The outrage about? It goes back to the fake outrage that people all of a sudden have now because they got Twitter fingers. You can retweet stuff. You can be mad. You can use the little stuff that you've seen in your documentaries and your CNN and the book that you read or the blog post that you had or this exclusive little black website that you've seen. And you can say, oh, well, all of this roots from this or that. Like, man, nobody cares. If that was the case, you wouldn't be looking at a Kodak Black tweet, dude.
So here's the thing. The same way that I feel like it's okay to have Kodak Black to have a preference, it is also okay for people to take offense to what he is saying. It is okay.
Why is this the
both
thing?
Ways? That's my point. Well, just because Barack didn't
this,
say
though?
It.
No, why are we taking offense
or Cuba
this?
Gooding Jr. didn't say it. Just because he doesn't have 4 million followers like Young Thug. Mm-hmm. What if Young Thug said it? Then is it different because he's got 4 million followers?
Well, I would
assume. Kodak Black only has 100,000. I mean, what's the difference, dude?
I don't know. How many followers Kodak Black got?
I don't know. He's deleted his Instagram account.
What about his Twitter?
He's deleted his Twitter.
Jesus Christ.
His only account.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, why is this worthy of him having to delete all that?
He said that's not the reason that he deleted it.
Clearly he is if he deleted it today and people are talking about it today. I ain't letting him hit me with that bullshit. And that's what I'm saying. I'm not going to believe everything that Kodak Black says. So if he says, I didn't delete my Instagram and my Twitter today and I'm getting heat for this stuff that I said today, hey, I don't believe you, Kodak Black. You ain't got to explain no more. You ain't got to do nothing. It's on me to believe you or not, and I just don't believe you. So when he say he don't like dark-skinned women, I'm sure that I could find a lot of dark-skinned women on Instagram, Twitter, and Snapchat to parade out in front of him, and he going to be out of his little mind. Kodak Black, hey, 20 years old, dude. Hormones is raging right now. He got a lot of money. So if they're dark-skinned women that he definitely is taking, like, heed to.
Remember,
if his preference over light-skinned women is there, like, okay, I get that.
Remember when I said that there's certain artists that don't do interviews because the things that they may say, they're probably going to end up putting their foot in their mouth.
Right.
Add Kodak Black to that list. There's a reason there's one Breakfast Club interview with him.
At 20 years old, there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
I
don't want Kodak Black on Breakfast Club 3 times putting his foot in his mouth. He can barely do IG Live. Nigga, they was running the train on the girl on Snapchat, dude.
Yeah.
Like I don't even really, if I'm his management team, I don't even really want him to have a phone.
That's a fact.
Just relax. Like, do music, go to the studio.
That's why his shit is taken down, probably.
Yeah,
his management, like, somebody woke up.
Turn that shit off. All of it.
Out of a coma and said, hey, let me get that phone. Somebody probably said, hey, let me see your phone right quick, and then ran off with it.
Delete.
That's what they probably threw that motherfucker in the goddamn.
He might not know how to figure out how to set that shit back up either. So, like, delete. No longer can you get in touch with Kodak Black through this way.
Update on his teeth, too. He took out the gold just to put in platinum.
Diamonds in there. Let's go.
Absolutely.
I see you down south, shit.
All right, moving on before we hit this music break. XXL freshman class member, Ugly God, yo boy, unsuccessfully tried to hit the police with, do you know who I am?
Oh, man.
He was pulled over. He hit them with the do you know who I am. The cops, of course, said no.
Of course, was funny.
And then he said, tell your kids, check with your kids. They probably know who I am. Didn't work. Still got a ticket.
I'd be disappointed if my kids knew who Ugly God was.
Is there any scenario possible when do you know who I am should be used?
Yeah, if you're a bigger star than Ugly God.
What level? Young Thug?
Nah.
He got 4 million followers. Remember, he's the Beatles. Let you tell it. He's fucking Paul McCartney. He's got 4 million followers on our Instagram.
But those police that's gonna pull him over, not the people that'll follow him on Instagram. The police that he needs to tell that to is the people, like, investigators. So with that being said, if I'm Jay-Z, if I'm Puff, if I'm Dr. Dre, if I'm Russell Simmons, yeah, I'll pull it. Like, those are few of the 5 black people that can say, hey, you know who I am. Barack.
Can Cuba Gooding Jr. pull it?
No, not at all.
Tiger Woods?
Where?
Tiger Woods can't do, you
he
know,
just
that you know who I am?
He pulled over and bam.
He should have said, do you know who I am?
They knew. Like, they knew. Unless you got cash money on you, you rap. It's a rap.
Nah,
it's rare in 2000.
It's Barack, Jordan, Oprah, Jay. They can say, do you know who I am?
Rock, Jordan, Oprah, Jay. Them the 4. That's the Mount Rushmore.
That might be the Mount Rushmore of black people now that I'm just sitting
Barack,
here talking.
Oprah, Jordan, Jay.
Woof.
Puff on them.
Over who?
No, I'm saying.
Who you taking off?
Puff is the 5th, though. Like,
he can be the 5th.
He's just not on Mount Rushmore. You're not pulling over Puff.
Not, like, really? There's some people that might not know who Puff is.
That's
Snoop can say that. Snoop can say, you don't know who I am? The fuck? He can. I swear he can. He might be the only rapper not named Jay or Kanye can do it.
Okay, so they already associate Snoop with weed, though. So
they got to let him roll.
No, you don't know who I am. Like, yeah, I know who you is, and I know you got weed somewhere. So okay, you're going to jail.
Yeah, so you know, you really don't want to see that.
You don't want to see that. Like, Snoop, okay, so he already associated.
Yeah, you need to be Jeff Smith, Snoop. Don't pull the you know who I am shit. That's Kanye. A good point.
Now, but okay, Kanye, people expecting that of him, though. They expect
that makes more sense.
Like, oh, you know who I am?
I know. Yeah, and they should.
Kanye, we do know who you are, and we still give you a ticket. Jay, you might have hit it right on the nose with them folk. That's it.
That's the Mount Rushmore of 21st century black people. So in hip-hop,
Jay the only one?
Mount Rushmore. Oh, you mean that can say that?
Yeah, in hip-hop, Jay the only one.
Jay, Ye, and...
No, Ye can't do it, though.
You're goddamn lying.
Bro, if Ye get pulled over tomorrow, it's some overzealous cop that's going to be like, yeah, I know who you are. I know, and I expected you to say, do you know who I am, nigga? You the same dude that got on stage with Taylor Swift, dude. Yes, I expected you to say that, right?
Motherfucking nightsticks.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. I've been watching you for 3 miles, dude. Yes, I knew it was you.
All right, man, let's fuck it. Yeah,
Russell Simmons. Russell Simmons.
Nah, bro. That's my nigga, too. I fuck Russ? Russell. I fuck with him. I fuck with Russell Simmons heavy. He can't pull that though.
Jay Prince
can pull it in New York.
Jay Prince can pull it anywhere in Texas.
Man, log off, dude.
Master P.
And that's my boy too. And
we Master P can't say, do you know who I am?
Yeah, nigga, in the Fifth Ward. But
New Orleans.
Not new New Orleans. Okay, yeah. Not post Katrina New Orleans. No.
Not post Katrina was.
No. Uptown, nigga, Ninth Ward? Yes.
That's at @animal_brown if y'all wanna holler at him about the post Katrina comments. Don't at the page of me or the show page. @animal_brown.
Man, let's go to this song break, man. Speaking of Ugly God, he has a new song out. He just did his freestyle and people graded his freestyle, said it was okay.
I see you, Ugly God.
So guess what? We're gonna play a song since y'all like his freestyle so damn much. It's called Fuck Ugly God. It's a diss song about himself.
Fuck Ugly God.
Check it out.
Fuck Ugly God.
Fuck Ugly God. Ugly God a hoe. Flexing like you got it, bitch. I know your ass is broke. Your network say you got a million, but your ass don't. You a one-hit wonder, bitch, your whole career a joke. Back in team, grab your coach, kick you off the team. Every single day you wear them same pair of jeans. Them same black pants, bitch, you know which ones I mean. 4 years ago you got jumped on Halloween.
Fuck Ugly God.
What?
Fuck Ugly God.
In the four
Ugly God.
In the 4+ years of us doing this show, that might have been the worst song we've ever played.
That's not true.
I fuck promise.
Ugly God. Fuck, nah, that's some sly. I ain't gonna try to act like I'm riding with that or nothing.
I don't know how the engineer recorded this shit.
It was some old white guy.
Nigga with earplugs in.
He wasn't even paying attention to none of that, just looking at the Pro Tools screen. What yeah, right there, that's perfect.
That shit garbage.
Yeah, thumbs up.
Woo.
I would go with the thing. It's just not for me. Ugly God's not for me. His freestyle was cool. I think it was probably one of the better ones that I heard from that class.
That's a shame.
I ain't got nothing to do with that.
That what I'm bar saying, hella low.
That's probably one of the better ones that I heard from that class. And I mean, he got his little shuck, his little lane, man.
I think he's just trying to be funny.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's his little shuck and his little lane. Like, I can see him coming out dressing funny like Trinidad James and doing all that stuff and, like, just reshucking some old stuff that we seen, man. That's all this is.
I'm about to come out as Fine God.
Oh, my God.
You know who I am?
Nobody gonna believe that.
Shit.
You know who I am? Gonna be even worse than your career, yo. Why would you call yourself the Fine God?
We back, man, fresh off of this DJ Khaled Grateful album. I saw a lot of negative reviews, which prompted up the discussion that we had earlier. Yep. Are these DJ albums overrated? Are they needed? Why are they here? If nobody likes them, I don't ever remember any one of these DJ albums coming out and people going, I'm riding to this DJ Khaled album all summer.
Clue. Niggas fuck with them Clue.
Nigga, 98? The Clue tapes?
Yeah, they fuck with them 98, too.
The modern day DJ album, I could argue, bro, is over. It's probably trash. Like, it just, like, people don't really fuck with it. It's not popular. But the DJs themselves, the personalities, Drama's still popular. He can get a show easy. DJ Khaled just got off tour with Beyonce last year. His star is bigger than ever. I don't understand. Help me understand how these niggas are still in demand.
First of all, Drama Jeans on BET Awards were like the epitome of slaw.
I ain't see him.
You ain't see them gray stonewashed jeans that he had on the red carpet,
his dude. His gal bad, though.
His gal bad.
So that, like,
and I don't even understand Jesus. How she would let him walk out with some jeans. Like, you can't be with no gal like that and have them jeans on, dude. Bro, look like a nigga has some, like,
drama. You gotta listen to Fresh for Dummies. We're gonna put you up on game,
I feel
bro.
Like he tough. I feel like he had some decibel jeans on or some shit like that, man. But with that being said, I get what you're saying. If you're listening from the aspect of, I want a classic hip-hop album, not a classic hip-hop song, not a big song. Because I feel like all of those albums that the DJs come out with, they have big songs on there. And as a DJ, your focus is the big song.
Yeah, get the crowd hype.
Yeah, you get the crowd hype, you get the club jumping, you know the big songs. The failure in producing those albums to me when you come to Khaled, and when you come to drama, is that they looking for the big song every song. So you can't mend together an album that sounds something like an artist would put together. Like, we expecting it to be a classic if you get, like you said, everybody short of Eminem and Kanye West is on Khaled's new album. So how could that not be a classic?
How could it at least not be just banging, but, though?
Okay, so take it down song for song, though. Look how he dropped them. He dropped a song with Jay and Beyonce how long ago?
Couple months.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, he let that marinate, and people don't do that now. People are coming out with a project now. They dropping it within 2-3 weeks of the biggest single. And I got a Jay and Beyonce track, and that's not the biggest single, and I let that rock for a couple months, and then I hit you with a Drake, and then I hit you with a Justin Bieber, Quavo, Chance the Rapper, and Lil Wayne, and then I hit you with a Rihanna and Bryson Tiller.
Right.
All I'm thinking about is the home runs. Like, he not hitting singles. Oh, he not hitting for the cycle. All he doing is Barry Bonds in it, dude.
So if that's the case, then why not just drop singles?
Why would I do that? And I can't make money off of that.
What? If he's not making money off singles, then what's his purpose?
No, I'm saying I can't go to the label and say, hey, I'm only going to drop singles. I can't be Young L.A. and drop Ain't Eyes every 2 months.
If they smashes, though.
But I need the whole body. I need to be able, like, okay, I'm not going to be looked at as in consideration for L.A. Reid's job when he get fired, or head of Def Jam, or whatever it may be, if I'm DJ Khaled, if I'm only dropping singles. But if I can give you an album that got everybody on there short of Eminem, Kanye West, and
Pac,
yeah, and Big, like, if, man, I can give you an album, what that makes the labels think is that, hey, if you bring me in as vice president, I'm going to influence these people to maybe come over here, drop projects, and make us money. That's adding on the Khaled portfolio. I feel like when DJs do the albums that they do, they don't do them for the cohesiveness of the album, for us as the listener to be like, hey, this is rad, I can put it in, and it's gonna bump like Outkast, it's gonna bump like UGK, it's gonna bump like Jay-Z, it's gonna bump like our favorite artists. Like, you're not gonna listen to that and think that. What they're thinking is, I wanna show you how I can maneuver throughout this business and put these things together, be the A&R, be the person that put the album out and be like, this shit fire, be the executive producer, and then come back to you and say, what kind of job you got for me? Because I can do this for a, what's your boy name that's on his label? To do the yoga now. What's my man to do the yoga, man?
Do the
DJ
yoga?
DJ Khaled. What's DJ Khaled boy to do the yoga?
I have no idea.
The dark skin dude, yo boy, you thinking rap. What's the, who was the only, it's only been like 4 people on DJ Khaled label.
Right.
So what's Ace Hood?
Ace Hood.
Okay, yeah, gotcha. Ace Hood. So
the disrespect when you just showed Ace Hood by not remembering his name was atrocious. I didn't even know it.
So what I'm saying, and my point is, if I'm doing what DJ Khaled does, I can go to a label with an Ace Hood, with a Votto, with a, what's the other dude name you said he put on every song, every album?
But Mo Votto?
Mo Votto. I can go to with a Votto, Mo Votto, and Ace Hood, and I can make you think that I'm going to bring out a classic, dope, fire album that will sell. That's the thought process behind it. It ain't the album they put everybody on. Everybody know that's going to do what it do. They thought processes the other dudes that they signed, the Ace Hoods, the Movados, and Vados.
And none of them took off. Now, here's my thing.
Yet.
Khaled has 10 albums, which is amazing, number one. I remember when he first started, the only big names that he had on the album were the singles. And then it was a bunch of nobodies and a bunch of lesser-known individuals. Now, It's like an all-star lineup, nigga. Alicia Keys, where the fuck she been at? Nicki Minaj, just everybody and their mama. Travis Scott on hella songs. Nas, he on back-to-back Khaled albums. Can't nobody else get Nas to get out the house. How the fuck is he getting him on it? Like, these albums are supposed to be complete and utter flames. If Khaled is that good at putting songs together, he should be able to put a song with Nas and Travis Scott and make it banging.
No, he
should
possible,
be able
though.
To do the Future Rick Ross, Yo Gotti. That shit should be automatic layups, dude, if you're that good at crafting these songs like you say you are. Now, my solution to this, the single approach, I think you're sleeping on that. You named four songs.
No.
Beyonce J song, Drake song, Rihanna joint, Justin Bieber joint. Those are four songs. If
right.
he dropped one a quarter,
Smashes.
If he dropped one a quarter, you ran all year with four songs. You could have easily done it. I don't need his album, bro. I don't need the Range Rover Come With Steps or whatever the fuck it's called.
No, whoa, wait. That's on 2 Chainz albums and you need to fucking relax.
I don't know. I don't need that.
Oh, you talking about it is on that.
Yeah, I don't need that shit. I don't need this Future with Nicki Minaj subpar bars, dude. I don't need it. The Pusha T and Jada Kiss shit is cool. I'm going to forget about that Pusha verse by next week.
You don't need it because you're used to the Blueprint. And you're used to
get rich or die
trying. You're used to I Am. You're used to good albums in hip hop. What everything is about now, and you know this, and I know this, is streaming. What's the big song? What's going to get played in the club? What can they use for the commercials of the NFL, NBA, during the finals, during the All-Star break, during the awards that they just had last night? What songs can they play? DJ Khaled has 6 of those on his album. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not looking for anything to ride cohesively. I don't even got the CD. I don't got a CD player. I'm putting my phone in my auxiliary cord of my Bluetooth, and I'm playing my favorite song off that Khaled album. Khaled getting his money off that stream. If I run it back, he getting some more money off that stream. And then I'm moving on to my next favorite artist. That's what the game is about, and I feel like Khaled is capitalizing off. That's what he doing. He don't need, like, Khaled don't need, like, what we say about Drake. 13 songs going in, one singular topic. Classic album, bars, no singing. We want that from him. Kendrick Lamar, we've gotten that from him. J. Cole, Drake, we've gotten albums where they putting stuff together cohesively as artists to come off like what we needed to be from an album, a classic album. We don't need that from Drama. We don't need that from Khaled. Even though they got all the resources in the world, Their ultimate goal ain't to come out with their classic album. Their ultimate goal is to come out with that big song.
I don't believe that.
It is. Like that's the goal.
And see, here's the downside of having an artist. Remember when he signed, he had Ace Hood and he was pumping him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting him on songs that he didn't belong on because this is
he
my
was his
artist. But that looks whack. It looks like you're forcing people onto songs because it's your artist. Nobody respects that. Nobody respected Ace Hood for it. No
and,
fault
and
of his
Ace
own.
Look what Ace Hood doing now. I can't remember his name. I do a hip hop podcast every week. He's doing yoga with his gal. Shout out to him for living good and appreciating life.
How the fuck do you know he's doing yoga?
Bro, the picture's all over Instagram, dude.
You like, follow Ace Hood on Instagram?
I've heard people talking about him. Actually, his gal bad, though.
Really?
Tough.
Shout out to Ace Hood, gal.
With hating.
You follow him on Instagram. Just say it.
No, I don't follow Ace Hood or his gal, but I've heard people talking about it, and I've seen the pictures of her in the yoga tights, and she doing it.
What was the last good DJ album? Has there ever been a full DJ album that was banging?
Clue.
Back
like,
in the day.
When it was about bars and about rapping, and it wasn't about songs, and it was about freestyles, and it was about, oh, this is exclusive, and he's ripping it. I got this, and don't nobody else got it. That's when DJ albums were good.
That backstage Clue was banging.
Tough. When DJs try to take it where I'm going to make original songs and I'm going to try to put them all together on a cohesive album, that's not what, sorry Drama, sorry Khaled, that's not what you do. You do songs. And you may have put a compilation of good songs on a couple of good albums, and that's cool. I ain't hating on it at all. I know why it needed to be done. But they don't make to be great classic albums. It just can't happen that way. I don't know a DJ that can do that.
if I remember correctly, man, I think DJ Khaled did have one that was straight through, slick. It was either Kiss the Ring. I want to say that that was straight through. Or it was the same one that came out the same year as DJ Drama. DJ Drama had one. These niggas came out back to back. And I was shocked because they were both banging. Right. And they were, so DJ Khaled's batting 1-for-10.
Yeah. You're not saying, I'm not saying that they can't produce good albums. Because like you said, that Kiss the Ring, banging.
Yeah, they got some shit and on there, if I'm not mistaken.
The second drama,
I think that's whatever the one that's my fire. Moment.
That one's good. But with that being said, we can't turn away from the fact that DJs are about songs. They would prefer to have a bigger song than a bigger album.
That's backwards. That's hustling backwards.
But that's a DJ though, because think about your process as a DJ. I need the hot song. I can't take no B-side shit in a club and rock it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So their ear is trained to hear the big song. So if they making an album and it's coming from their artistic point of view, they're going to want all big songs. And that ain't going to work every time. Because sometimes you're going to have your artist as Ace Hood. Or you're going to have your artist as, who want a drama artist besides Uzi?
Right now?
Ever.
Or just ever?
Ever. Like, who was Drama? Drama was fucking with some nigga back in the day.
Yeah, Drama had two niggas.
It was some dude back in the day. He used to put, what's his name?
I can't remember his name, but they were from Philly.
But he used to put him on all the stuff, though.
Yeah.
He used to put him on all the stuff, and you would see him with big-name guys, and they were big songs, but still, their artists didn't belong on that stuff. And it was just because they heard the big songs, they heard that they were banging, and they were still trying to push their artists on other stuff, like what you said.
Willie the Kid.
Willie the Kid. Yep.
Yeah, I'm super good on that. DJ Drama got lucky, found a diamond in the rough, which was Lil Uzi Vert. He's sitting back and he's not stunting the DJ Uzi albums no more. That's the biggest person that a DJ has found that I can find and I can think in recent memory, if we not sitting counting Will's fucking Smith. So your best bet is to use your DJ status and get all the up and coming niggas in your city or when you travel and listen to them demo tapes while you on your airplane going from city to city, gig to gig, and find the next Lil Uzi Vert. I don't need the next Willie the Kid or whoever. I forgot the other dude he had. L.A. the Dark Man or something?
Dark Man.
Bro, that didn't work. Not to say that they couldn't rap, they just weren't stars.
Ace Hood and Mavado ain't working.
Ace Hood and Mavado still not working.
Or Vado.
Or Vado. That's not working. So, like, and you can tell Khaled is slick giving up on repping his artist.
Well, not necessarily.
He's repping his son. Now, his son is his artist.
Wait.
He's LeVar Ball.
Before we get
he's
off
the rap
this,
LeVar Ball, dude.
Now, stop that.
This is not. He's pimping his
let's
son out.
Let's not do LeVar Ball like that. LeVar Ball got way more integrity than Khaled, dude. Khaled's son can't even talk, dude. He's shucking it out with headphones on a BET station.
He got shades on his son. Dude, his son don't know what the fuck going on.
Right, like Assad is so confused right now, dude. Assad, like, has no idea what's going on, dude. Like, with that being said, what did you say? It was something that you said I had to, like, elaborate on.
Yeah, I said a bunch of gems right there, so you're going to have to catch up.
It wasn't a lot
keep
of
up.
Gems. You said the LeVar Ball stuff, and you said about Khaled's son, and you said, okay, about the artists and the rappers. Like, most DJs don't realize that their artist isn't good, though. Like
most homeboys.
Yeah, like, Khaled don't know that Ace Hood can't do a power record.
Right.
Like, I give you a Bugatti, and I throw Future on there, and Wayne and Ross,
smash.
And think, oh, my boy got a hit. No. No.
Future
on the hook. And Wayne on there and Ross. That's the problem I feel like with DJs. They try to make that ear a little bit too easy for their artists and not for like the whole album. They feel like as long as they anthems, as long as they big hits, then we can run with it. And that's why they're not good albums.
Long story short, stop making the DJ albums, just put out singles, bro. Save us
make
a whole
the
lot
DJ
of time.
DJ albums, get those positions. DJ Khaled, Drama,
no.
Cannon. Y'all get those positions at the record labels and keep pushing great music. Keep making them albums.
Do singles or find a Yachty. That's it. Those are your two options. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Quick music break. We're going to take it to Chicago. Lil Bibby, man, we ain't play him in a minute.
My boy.
He been quiet.
My boy.
Free Crack 4 is on the way. How do we know it's on the way? Because he just dropped this intro. Tough. It's called Free Crack 4, the intro. Let's hit.
Let's go, Bibby.
Bitch, we armed and dangerous. You ain't no limit, can't hang with us. Ain't too many that can bang with us. Niggas won't smoke, well, flame it up. What you been smoking, some angel dust? Imagine your bitch got a thing for us. You really won't smoke with the game for her? You think about losing your brain for her? Niggas got choppers the same as us. But I don't really think they insane as us. They come to your block and change it up. They take off their jerseys and hang them up. Look, I wanted to be like D-Rose. Mama was broken, I needed some clothes. Then I start wilding and kicking in doors and looking for things that be playing with their nose. Got off my ass and start saying some goals. My nigga got upgraded from silver to gold. I started chatting these different hoes. I keep me a roll, I need me a rose. Remember them times I had to sleep on the floor. Now all my seats on the floor. MOB won't pay a fee for a hoe. And I still scrape for the road. They want me chained up, but I came up. Young nigga about to fuck the game up. Moving slow, so I switched the lane up. Kept it bent frame, never changed up. If it's about money, you know I get plenty. I ride with the semi, I die with it with me. Don't try little baby, the savages in me. I'ma get rich or I die like I'm 50. I'm tired of
fucking playing. All right, Lil Bibby, man. Lil Bibby aggressive on his intro.
Shit's slow.
That ain't it right there. That's your man. You just said he was your man.
Yeah, I fuck with Lil Bibby and everything, but it's over. He need to go on to get in the acting game.
Damn.
Yeah, go on to stay out in L.A., get in the acting game. And ain't knocking his skills or nothing, but it's like for that style, that approach, like Lil Bibby, he ain't that dude as far as what we want to hear or see from a rapper like him. Like, go on to get in the acting game. He need, what's the new Irv got his shit to come on tonight?
Tales.
He need to get some tails rolls. We can run with it. I'm cool with it.
I'm not mad at the song. I'm not mad at what he's saying or how he's saying it. But in terms of like being mainstream, with it's all with.
He got a mainstream look though.
I can see that.
But and that's why I'm saying the things that I'm saying. Not shitting on his abilities, but he got a mainstream look, but he got an underground sound.
Yeah.
So you got to choose one or the other, and I don't feel like the underground sound is what he want to go with. Go on and hop in the movies. He ought to get a little rolling Empire.
Yeah.
Go on and just like shuck it on out. Like do that.
Fuck it.
Cause he was talking about going to college for a minute, right?
Yeah, and going to school. I'm still check out the app project just because he does make pretty decent music, though.
Yeah, that's cool.
But that's another freshman class, and they maxed out, and be real.
Tough.
All right, man. Question of the day before we get out of here comes from my boy, Master P.
Uncle P.
I was quoted today, really, not question. But
P
was at the BET Awards. Backstage, well, not backstage, outside of the BET experience.
Don't do P like that.
He took to Instagram. P been heavy on the Instagram videos lately.
Don't do P like that, talking about outside, implying that he couldn't get in.
No, it's not implying. He said he couldn't get in. He said, I couldn't get a pass, couldn't get backstage. Now, how do I know this? He did an Instagram video and with this big, long caption. He was clearly frustrated with how they were treating Prodigy. Now, of course, Prodigy did end up getting a tribute. They put a tribute in for him during the show. Now, let me read just a little bit of what P had to say. He said, the truth hurts. BET would have never changed their show for Prodigy if he was alive. It's a great thing acknowledging and celebrating the life of Prodigy and all of his accomplishments, but it's a shame that none of these artists are told how great they are while they're alive. Why can't they get their flowers and their tokens of appreciation when they're living? Does P have a point?
Because when you're living and you show up to the BET Awards unannounced, you only look like a washed up rapper. You don't look like a legend. You don't look like somebody who sold over 20 million records. And I'm saying this from a place like I love P. I look at P like an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
Raise me. But when you show up to an established event thinking, I'm Master P, they should show love to me, I should be able to get in and go backstage. Like, that's not the world we live in now, dog. It's 2017. Last hit was 20 years ago. You have to understand that situation before you go up to the BET Awards and then get mad because you get rejected. You and I seen that before with Bone Crusher.
For sure.
Bone Crusher tried to walk into the BET Hip Hop Awards now here in Atlanta, and no shade to him. Dude looked at him like, bro, like, why would I let you in here?
Right.
Like, I, I know who you are, but like, why? What are you? What would you be doing in the BET Hip Hop Awards down here in Atlanta in whatever year was that we was down here? So the same thing goes to Pete. Like, don't do an Instagram video because you mad that you couldn't get in the BET Awards. Yeah, we all know what you said about Prodigy was true. We wouldn't have mentioned Prodigy on the last show if he had not died.
Right.
And that's no disrespect to him or what he's done for the rap game. That's just the fact of the matter. It's Prodigy.
Right. So here's the thing that P has to understand. There's only, listen, P, we can't let everybody who's ever recorded a song into the BET Awards. It's not enough seats, P. Dope. It's not enough seats, bro. You know how the game goes. If you're popular, you're here. That's who these seats are reserved for.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's fair, but this is how the game goes. I don't make the rules. I just play it. And this is also what P has to understand. People do get their flowers when they're alive. That's what the Lifetime Achievement Award is for.
Shout out, what is it? Who won it?
You talking about this last one?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Chance got the humanitarian.
No, the people that they did what was it?
Was it Escape?
The movie.
New Edition.
New Edition, yeah. Shout out
to people that's people's flowers while they're here is the Lifetime Achievement Award. That's what that's for. Bro, we can't sit and honor everybody that's ever did everything every year, bro. It just doesn't. It's not realistic, P.
And we can't let y'all in.
We can't let everybody in.
Just because you show up, you in L.A., you know the BET Awards going on, you don't got an invite, you Master P. You can't just show up.
It's invite only, bro. You know that.
Well, buy a ticket.
Or buy a ticket.
Buy a ticket. You want to be there that bad, buy a ticket, bro.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that's the thing about hip hop and the thing about our culture. Like, someone like P feel like, because I've did this and I did that, then I ain't got to buy a ticket. Now, buy a ticket. Go on and buy a ticket. Be recognized when you get in there, if that's the place for it. And then if something happened from that, you get on stage, you say your piece or whatever it may be. But don't stand out here outside expecting to get in and being like, well, I'm Master P.
Do you know okay, who that's I am cool. type shit?
Yeah, that's cool. You Master P, bro. You was cracking in 96. You done sold 25 million records. You a legend.
Don't do that.
First 80-20 deal that, whatever.
Don't do that.
First 80-20 deal that it was. You got plenty of money. You done it. I respect you, but there's no room at the BET Awards for you.
Now, okay, let me play devil's advocate.
All right.
Now, obviously, we're not asking for everybody who's ever rapped to walk up to the BET Awards Sunday and try to get in. All
right.
It's just P right though.
Okay. Just P by himself, no entourage.
Let's say it's P.
We know that's not happening.
Let's say P and his daughter. Let's say it's P and Symphonique.
P plus one.
It's P plus one. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to see if they can at least make accommodations?
Why would I do that though?
Because it's Master P.
Why though? Like what?
Everybody in there knows who P is.
That's cool.
Everybody in there grew up on P.
And what has Master P done to contribute to the Tonight ceremonies in which I could bring him in, disrupt my whole production schedule, and like get a camera on him? Because look, once he get in, he gonna expect all that. All I done let him in for free. Where you gonna sit at? You gonna sit up front? Now you want a spotlight? You want MC Light to say your name too? Do what's her name? Leslie Jones? She gotta shout you out too? We gotta do a P monologue? No, bro. Pay for your ticket or don't come. That's easy.
If we had an on deck award show down here and P showed up,
I'm letting P in.
Okay.
I ain't BET.
That's my
though.
Point.
I'm not BET. We're not BET, bro.
Man.
If P came out, shit, yes. Come sit front row. You want to host? Yes. Okay, cool. You know what I mean? I'm good with that. He could have probably hosted better than Leslie Jones, but the thing was, like, we can't expect these people to just to show up and be like, oh, I did this and did that, and expect people to make accommodations for you. They ain't how the real world work, dude.
And it's not a diss either if they don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not a diss, and for him to take it that way in the film, the video, that's where I was disappointed. That's where I'm seeing the old P, not the young, new P that I seen that did I'm about it and they got the 80-20 deal. I'm cool if you mad about it. Yeah, I'm cool if you mad about it, bro, but I don't need the IG video, dude. I don't need that. Let it ride, dude.
Nah, you just got to chalk it up and go back to your mansion.
Yeah, I respect you tweeting out, I'll come back and buy this bitch. That'd be different.
That's
what I want to say.
That's different.
You want me to come back and buy this bitch? Who wouldn't let me in?
hop in my Ghost.
I got cash money for him right now. I know he breaching the door. He go a million right now. Boom. He let me in. No pass, no nothing. That's how I would have went to IG. He got a bag full of money. He got an IG. I mean, he got a security dude that wouldn't let me in. Just gave him a bag full of money. Now he let me in. All right, I'm backstage. Boom, still got money in the bag. I'm going right here now. It's all off money, and it's all off me being Pete. I don't want no recognition, no love. If y'all don't want to show me that, then I'm gonna come in and I'm gonna shake it on y'all.
See, this is the thing. Two things can be right about something. P said that they would not have invited Prodigy had he not. Last week, Prodigy was alive and well. They wouldn't have invited him. That's a fact.
Cool, though. What's wrong with that?
That's a fact. But the reason being, P, is because Prodigy is not relevant in music. P, you're not relevant in music. He knows what that means. Like, he should know what that means. His accomplishments are unheard of, unprecedented, and probably will never be duplicated. That doesn't give you an all-access pass to every rap event that ever occurs for us. It just doesn't, though.
Facts.
Now, is that the same for sports?
What do you mean?
If Lamar Odom pulled up to the ESPYs, are they letting him in?
Nah, Lamar Odom smoked crack.
If
it's
AI walk up and he's not, are they letting him in? Are they doing him like this? The fact that you even have to think about it—that's what he's trying to say. I know I wasn't invited. I know I don't have a ticket, but I'm Master P. Can you make accommodations? That's all.
But why would I do that if I'm BET, though?
Just but you would do it for AI. You thinking about AI?
I didn't
AI.
Say that. I'm thinking about it because I would think about it if it was P. All I'm saying is, like, why would I do that? Because, like, okay, look. The difference in the Master P and the AI analogy is this. What are the expectations as an entertainer as opposed to a former athlete once you get in the building? Like, it's cool, P, if you just want to come in, sit down, and observe the show.
That's it.
Right, I don't know that he want to do that because he's an entertainer and we know what comes with that. They want the spotlight. They
promo
want
is tape.
Yeah. Can I present an award?
Nah, like, he's not finna
can
do
I sit front row?
Don't do P
Are
like
you going to spotlight me?
Don't do P like him.
You showed up expecting to get in for free. There's no limit to what I think you're expecting now.
No like pun
you,
intended.
First of all, you exactly, boom. First of all, you showed up to my show and you're saying, hey, I ought to be able to get in because I'm Master P. Now I let you in. What are the next expectations? Can I sit front row? Oh, you sent me in the balcony. I'm Master P.
Now he gonna feel some type of way about
exactly.
being
exactly. Allen Iverson. Okay, boom. You get in the ESPYs. You're back here in the back because you ain't present no awards. I expected you just came here to see the show. Like nothing else is gonna happen. So I think that's different. Entertainers have a different expectation once it comes to how you accommodate them. I don't think athletes have that.
I think they both got egos. It's egos.
Yeah.
So they both have them.
I feel like entertainers have bigger egos than athletes. Because athletes know when they watched. Entertainers really don't know when they watched.
That's a good point. Let's wrap this up, man. New music out right now. Of course, DJ Khaled, Grateful Album.
Go get that.
This Friday, Jay-Z 444 drops.
Did you get Tidal for that? What you doing for that?
I gotta get something because I gotta hear the shit.
Yeah, it's
not like I
got Sprint. I got Sprint. The only time I can shout out Sprint in praise. Coverage is terrible. Internet is fucking terrible. We getting a new J album. So shout out to Sprint for that.
They having a listening party down here though,
and we need them invites.
I RSVP'd. I'm pulling tough. The fuck. I'm pulling a P. I RSVP. Goddamn it.
I'm
let me in.
I'm pulling a P for that tough.
Let me in, motherfucker.
I'm pulling the P with the On Deck TV, the new logo. On the dad hat and the old logo on the shirt, we pulling up like, look, we got passes, bitch. I'm P, let me in here.
Also, Vince Staples' Big Fish Theory came out.
Did you like it?
It's okay. It's unconventional rap. That's not a bad thing. It just takes me maybe one or two more listens to really just dig it, though.
I give Vince Staples, Chance the Rapper, and the dude that cussed out Academics mixed up.
Vic Mensa?
All of them the same to me.
Vic Mensa's frying both of them
Vic
niggas.
Vic Mensa, Chance the Rapper,
Vince Staples. Same class.
See what I'm saying? All of that sounds the same to me.
Hell no.
I'm just saying.
Wiz Khalifa, he dropped an EP called Bong Rips. People still use bongs?
People still use bongs.
Where they doing that at?
A true non-weed smoker.
Clearly. And finally, Denzel Curry, my boy.
That's your boy now.
From Florida.
He should have been on in the Khaled.
13. He's got an EP. It's called 13. I'm going to check it out. I can't wait to fuck with it. I fucks with dude.
I like Denzel Curry. He ain't better than my young boy, though.
Who?
NBA young boy.
Oh, man. On that note, what do you got on deck for the weekend other than us crashing this listening party?
I'm definitely crashing that. But getting ready for the fourth, man.
Ooh.
Marinating some meat.
Pause. I don't do that.
Tough. I'm going to eat the grill. Crack it.
I don't eat
and it. You'll be over there. You eat meat.
Nah.
When them big dog burgers coming off the grill on the 4th and you over to the crib, you're definitely going to eat one.
Put me a black bean with burger cheese. On the grill.
I don't even know what that is. We ain't doing no turkey burgers and we ain't doing no black bean burgers. Straight beef, baby. Pause.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the 4th, man. I plan on doing something. Ain't no telling. Is Spider-Man out this week? Nah, it's next week. God, I can't wait. God damn it, Spider-Man. God damn it. I'm not going to Atlantic Station.
Nah.
But I am going to see that Spider-Man.
You really got to watch Atlantic Station for that.
Absolutely. I'm not going. I'll fuck around and just catch a matinee somewhere in some small-ass town, Dolo. But this weekend, I think I might see that Baby Driver. That shit look kind of dope.
That do look funny, though.
I'm fucking with that. I might pull up to that shit. Everybody go to Facebook. Join the group chat. It's called Rap Chat.
Yep.
Real easy. Search for it. Join it. Join into the conversation.
Also go to iTunes. Rate, subscribe, like the On Deck TV podcast. We love to know what you think. It also puts us up there for Apple to be one of the promoted podcasts. So
yeah.
We really appreciate it. If you guys would have done that for us, it ain't all for nothing. It is for something.
Thank you for those who already have and those who were about to after we just said it.
Tough.
We'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.